Before we get to our art, I'm going to share a few words with you. I'm going to start with a story about a boy named John. It all began to go downhill for John when he was 10 years old. As he remembers, up until that afternoon, when he arrived home from school to find his parents waiting for him, his childhood had been unremarkable, and he'd been, for the most part, a happy kid. But after being abruptly told by his parents that they were getting divorced, and that he needed to make a decision right there on the spot about which one he would be living with from now on, something within him began to break. And the slide from normal childhood to chaos was further expedited when, shortly thereafter, his mother was committed to the mental ward of the local hospital. On his frequent visits to see his mother, whom he desperately missed, she would stare at him blankly, drugged up to the point that often she just wouldn't recognize him. She would hear voices and have sudden violent outbursts, and on one of these visits, she told him that he was the son of the devil. And in that lost, hurt, and confused place he found himself, he believed her. And he started telling himself that he was a bad kid. And so, no surprise, John started getting into a lot of trouble. And over the years, as he continued to tell himself this story, John became a really bad guy. A bouncer, an enforcer, a thug. John made a lot of money, causing people a lot of pain. John has many stories of hurting people very badly. After a particular outburst in which he had once again caused someone terrible injury, he sensed he had gone too far, that he was close to destroying not just others but himself with his anger. That evening, he began to hear voices. And although at first he could ignore them, he quickly realized they were recounting all of his wrongdoings. He could feel the judgment for all the violence he had wrought fall heavily upon him, and felt his body begin to shut down in response to the truth of who he had become. He knew in that moment that he was dying. And in a panic, he ran out to his front lawn and in desperation screamed to the heavens two simple words that he says changed his life. Help me. Help me. Instantly, he reports to have been bathed in a glowing light and felt better than anything he had ever known. And after this moment, John was a changed man. In place of the story that he was the son of the devil, he had a new central narrative to tell himself. He was a saved man. And since then, he's acted like it too. The stories we tell ourselves are very powerful. Author Joan Didion, who knows a thing or two about stories, wrote that we tell ourselves stories in order to live. We tell ourselves stories in order to live. Those words were written in the late 1970s, and they turned out to be prescient, as modern neuroscience has shown that, according to Dr. Antonio Damasio, consciousness begins when the brain gains the power of telling stories. Consciousness begins when the brain gains the power of telling stories. We all have a lot of stories to tell ourselves about why we are here, about how we should treat other people, about who our family is, about what has meaning to us and why. But we also all have one central theme, whether we are conscious of it or not, that is the narrative of our life. For John, for a long time, it was, I'm a bad guy. And the way we cast ourselves in that story matters more than just about anything else to how we feel about ourselves. For John, once he began to tell himself he was the son of the devil, it was only natural to populate that particular story with bad deeds. Call it a self-fulfilling prophecy, but we tend to act like the person we tell ourselves that we are. Now, once the gravity of John's story shifted from being the son of the devil to being saved, his plot points changed also. Knowing he was a good person, it made no sense to pursue a life of beating people to a pulp. And I believe that, like John began to feel at the age of 10 when his parents put him in that unimaginable position of choosing between them, I believe we are all broken. I don't actually think we're born that way. Far from original sin, I actually believe in original blessing. But no matter how we are born, it is impossible to live in this world for long and not begin to break in places. Growing up is a gauntlet of painful moments and realizations, and no one comes out completely unscathed. Whether it's from our family of origin, our classmates, world events, our innocent little hearts get shattered to pieces again and again and again. And each of us carries around within us the residue of these traumas. Thousands of shattered emotions, broken dreams, sharp-edged memories, and tear-soaked truths. And some of us simply never recover. The combined weight of these traumas being simply too much for our hearts to bear. But others, even some of the most shattered amongst us, do recover. And I strongly believe that the way we reframe those broken pieces of our lives in the story we tell ourselves about who we are is the deciding factor in that recovery. The truth of our lives don't ever change. We will always be the sum of the stories we carry. But it is completely up to us to decide what the organizing principle of those stories are. We don't always have to tell ourselves that we are bad or damaged or lacking. Even just one moment of hope can allow us to reframe all those broken bits into a completely new life. A life of redemption, after all, can only come after a whole lot of pain and disappointment. We are the authors, not of the facts of our lives, but in how we choose to assign meaning to those facts. Everything you have ever experienced will come forward with you into the next moment. There's no choice in that. But it is up to you to reframe the pain, the heartbreak, the loss, and the disappointments into stories of hope, of resilience, of healing, and of fearless love. To symbolize that creative act of recreation, of reframing, we will today transform the broken pieces of our lives that we have collected over the last 3 months, and that we have today connected to the joys and sorrows we hold within, into beautiful art, into the very symbol of love and hope. So now I would like to invite Patricia Osage to the pulpit to tell us about how we're going to do that.